Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bible at this time and follow with me as I'll read in just a moment from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. This is one of many texts that we're studying in this lesson about prohibition and temperance. Now, this is a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of November the 4th, 1923. And this Sunday school lesson was written during the days of Prohibition. You see, there was once a constitutional amendment that was passed that forbade the manufacturing and sale of alcohol in the United States. And it was intended to curb alcohol abuse. You know, it did. Because the availability of alcohol was restricted, so the consumption of alcohol was restricted, and the problems associated with the consumption of alcohol was diminished. And yet, people grew weary of that restriction and took for granted some of the blessings that reducing alcohol consumption had brought to our nation. And they repealed that amendment, and alcohol flowed freely again, but not entirely free. You know, there are still many laws on the books that restrict the sale of alcohol. For example, the sale to minors. And those are good laws, because we know alcohol is dangerous. It is a mind-altering, addictive drug. And those who cannot exercise temperance should not be around it. You know, so we have prohibition, which is an external restriction on the consumption of alcohol. But then there is temperance, and that's an internal restriction. And when it comes to temperance and alcohol in the Bible, it simply means don't drink it. Now, we've been studying in this Sunday school lesson about the role of government, and we are also looking here at the virtue of temperance. And that's why we're going to read 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11 in just a moment. Before we get there, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read this text on temperance, on self-controlled. This is found in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-controlled, and in your self-controlled, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you that you shall not be idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we must master our passions. And if we do not master our passions, they are going to master us. And this passion that some have for the effects of alcohol on their body have allowed alcohol to master them. You've heard the old quip that first a man takes a drink, and then a junk takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. Now, we are warned about drunkards and those who make others drunk in the Bible. Let me read to you some of these passages. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. And even these reel with wine, and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They stagger with strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. You know, that does not sound like something that a Christian would want to partake of, does it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, we read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That passage does not put drunkards in a very good company, does it? Let's look at the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 5. "Yea, moreover, wine is treacherous, a haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol, and he is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people." We read in the book of Titus, chapter 1, and in verse 7, that a bishop must be blameless as God's steward, not self-willed, not soon angry, no brawler, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. And he is to be apart from the wine. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, "For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But self-control means that we would not continue to live that way. We read in Romans chapter 13:13-14, "Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It is not of the Christian to be involved in drunkenness. We read in Romans chapter 14 and verse 21, "It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth." There are so many prohibitions against the consumption of alcohol in the Scriptures, and yet some would turn for the Scriptures and say, "I can justify my drinking by the Scriptures." Well, you cannot do it. Listen, if you think that you can find a biblical justification for the consumption of beverage alcohol, then let me know. Send that to my email, or you can message me. You can message me at my email address on your phone and give me that argument. I will bring it to light and discuss it here over this radio program. My email and my message address is wmhbowyd@aol.com. Now send that to me. wmhbowyd@aol.com. And I will read what it is that you send me, and I will show you how you have mistaken and erred, not knowing the Scriptures, because the Scripture does not authorize the use of any kind of mind-altering addictive drug just for pleasure. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the consumption of alcohol. You know, Timothy abstained from all strong drink as out of harmony with Christianity. He was what people would call a teetotaler. He had to be exhorted by Paul to take a little wine for his stomach's sake and his off infirmities. Now, he's talking about taking a little wine for a medical purpose, not for a pleasurable purpose, not for a social purpose. And it is proper and good that God has given us drugs whereby we can treat our ailments. But these drugs are not to be abused for pleasure. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23, Paul said, "Be no longer a drinker of water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities." I want you to notice what he said. He didn't just say use wine. He said use a little wine. And it's not even absolutely that you can prove that this wine itself was alcoholic, because there was non-alcoholic wines available to those in those days. People say they did not have ways to preserve the juice of the grapes, and it had to all go to alcohol. But that shows they don't know what they're talking about, because they were able to preserve it without the alcohol in it, and they called that wine as well. But even if it was alcoholic, he said don't drink much. He said use a little. And he didn't say drink it so you can get a little buzz, so you can relax and have fun with your buddies, so you can chill out on your way home from work. He did not say that. He said do it for thy stomach's sake and thine off infirmities. This is talking about using a drug as medicine. And that the Bible does authorize, but it doesn't authorize the abuse of these medicines. Now what we want to do is turn and look in an exposition that we have of the 101st Psalm. And that's the text for this lesson. Let's begin in verse 1, where David says, "I will sing of loving kindness and justice unto thee, O Jehovah. Will I sing praises?" There is an inscription to this psalm. It is called a Psalm of David. And this psalm has been attributed to David and was written, it is thought, after he became king over the entire 12 tribes. He wrote it in praise to God and to declare his resolutions to follow righteousness and to put down evil. Mercy and justice are two of Jehovah's great attributes. Of himself, Jehovah proclaimed to Moses, "Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon children's children unto the third and fourth generation," Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. In the second verse of the 101st Psalm, David writes, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." David declared he would act wisely, and as the margin says, give heed to the perfect way. To behave wisely is to act according to God's direction. He who does that today is a wise man. David asked, when would Jehovah come to him? With God's grace and help, he could walk with him in his house as his own family and people, with a perfect heart, in integrity and uprightness. David writes, "I will set no base thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, and it will not cleave unto me." He would set no base thing before his eyes, and not engage in any unrighteous practice or try to accomplish any unholy purpose. On the other hand, he would hate the work of all who turn aside from the right way and the true worship of God. Such would not cleave unto him. Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. His followers do the same and must abominate every unjust, unfair, and low thing.